Hallelujah. So good to see you in church this morning. Amen. Just turn to two people and say, I'm so happy you are with me in church. Tell somebody, I'm so happy. Can I have a water? Amen. Praise God. Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And for those of you visiting with us, we just want to say welcome. For those returning visitors, we're so happy to have you. You are our special guest. Amen. Can we unplug these moving heads? Thank you, Lord. Amen. So I want to go into a series that is called The Aftermath. The Aftermath. You know, we're just coming out of Easter and we went through the death, burial, resurrection of Christ. But I want to show you something quite important that happened right after the resurrection. Amen? I want to talk to you, and then over the next couple weeks, I want to go slowly with you. I want you to get this in your spirit. I want this to be a part of your life. I want the word of God to sink really deep. And I also want it to be on the surface of your heart. And on the top of your memory. Amen? The Bible says what? Study to show yourself what? Approved unto God. I want to encourage parents, please send your children at this time to Sunday school. There is children's church happening right now. Let the kids go down for children's church. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. You know what we got to do? We're going to stand again. And we're going to look into the word of God. I just want to welcome those who are watching us online, those who are with us, those who are joining us on YouTube and Facebook, and those that will watch later. I just want to say welcome to church. Amen. Praise God. Let's go to John chapter 20. And we're going to read from verse 19. Familiar passage. We're all familiar with this. Hallelujah. And it says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut. Amen? The doors were shut. Let's back up. We're going to go to 11 rather. But Mary stood outside by the tomb. You know, that's what happened when you got so much stuff marked in your Bible. You don't know where to start, right? All right. Verse 11. But Mary stood outside by the tomb. What was she doing? Weeping. Weeping represents hopelessness because she was not weeping for joy, right? No, it represents hopelessness. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one on the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Amen? Where they had laid him. Then they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Why? Because she was in a relationship with the Lord. Amen? She was in a relationship with the Lord. You know, Mary Magdalene sometimes is you hear funny things in the world like, that was Jesus' girlfriend. Anyone ever heard those things? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah, you hear those things. They say that was Jesus' girl. But you know, he was the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. So she was not. Do you know we do not know her age? Mary Magdalene could have been a very old woman. And we do not even know for sure that she was a prostitute. You know, they have all these things that she was a prostitute. All we know is that she was delivered from 7 demons. We don't know that she was a prostitute, nor do we know her age. Right? But all we know that she was in a relationship. She loved Jesus because she experienced a miracle working power of Jesus. Anyone knows the miracle working power of the Lord here today? Anyone ever experienced the freedom that Jesus brings? Can I get a shout? Yeah. If you know you ever healed, you give me a shout. If you ever been delivered, give him a shout. Yeah. If you know you've been saved by Jesus, give me a shout. That's what Mary Magdalene was looking for. The one that freed her, delivered her, and gave her a second chance at life. So she had reason to cry. She had reason to seem hopeless because they took away her Lord. Mighty God. Imagine somebody take Jesus away from you right now. I don't know about you, but if they take Jesus away from me, kill me first. Kill me first. I don't want to live a second without Jesus. I can't live a moment without Jesus. I'm telling you, kill me first. Man, if you can't say that you haven't encountered Jesus, get saved. I'm telling you, church, if you can't say that life without Jesus is no life, you better get saved. And do it today. Don't leave here without encountering Jesus. Hallelujah. Now when she had said this, she what? Turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Do we understand that? She turned around, she saw a man, but she didn't know who that man was. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" God, Jesus can play mind games, he's good at it, amen? He did it all the time with the scribes, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees. They ask him, "Where you get your authority from?" He said, "You answer me some questions, and then I'll tell you where I get my authority from." She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And look at this now. Jesus said to her, "Mary." Jesus said, "Mary." The moment Jesus said her name, look at her response. Now, she didn't know who it was, but the moment the Lord said her name, do you know your parents say your name in a certain way? It doesn't matter, you're in a crowd, but you hear a voice say, "Sharon," you know who it is. Because nobody says Sharon like mommy or daddy. They have a peculiar way of saying it. So here, Jesus calls her name, and look what she says. You could the Bible put exclamations there. It says, she turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher. She knew his voice. I want to ask you today, if God calls your name, will you know it is your Lord that is calling you? It shows that she was what? In a relationship. When there is relationship, you know the voice. Can I tell you one of the scariest things the Lord ever told me? The Lord probably told you guys nice things, but he told me various scary words. One day I was praying, and the Lord says, "If you're not going to answer, I'm going to stop calling." My spirit, I heard it audibly, loud, 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 loud. It says, "If you're not going to answer, I'm going to stop calling." That was, I believe, the scariest day of my life. I went through so many accidents. If you know my life, I've been having accidents since I was like 10 years old. Accident after accident after accident, I was never that scared. But the moment I heard God says, "If you're not going to answer, I'm going to stop calling," it, my God, it scared the diseases out of me. Everything, because I don't want to not do what God has called me to do. Amen? But she knew the voice of the Lord. And look what happened now. Jesus said to her, now she was excited when she finally found him. He said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am what? I am what? I am ascending to my Father." And whose Father? Your Father, and to my God, and to your God. Father, I thank you for this word. I pray, Holy Ghost, you're going to speak to us. as we look into your word. I pray you'll break this word to us. Let understanding flow. Holy Ghost, do what only you can do. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you praise. Amen, amen. You may be seated. In this passage, we see Mary, she goes to the tomb, and she's looking for Jesus. She finally finds Jesus, excited, ready to touch him, ready to embrace him, ready to hug him, because what? He didn't look the way he looked when he was crucified. Her last image of Christ was him being battered, bruised, wearing a crown of thorns, bloody, bleeding everywhere, naked. So when she saw him looking clean and neat, she didn't expect him to look that way. She was looking for a Jesus that had stripes all over him, that blood was running down, a whole blood running out his side, and looking dirty, because the cross was not easy. The cross was messy business. Can I tell you that? The cross was messy business. God sent his only begotten son to become the ransom for you and I. And the ransom, the price that he paid was not easy. If you have ever seen the Passion of the Christ, it would give you a little picture of what I'm seeing. If you have never seen the Passion of the Christ, go home today and watch it. It's probably free on YouTube by now. You type in it and you'll get it. But watch it. It will give you a good understanding of what Christ went through for you and for me. And it may even challenge you to walk a little more circumspect with understanding. The Bible says, all you're getting, get what? Understanding. When you understand the price your parents paid to grow you up, you appreciate it a little more. When they sit you down and they tell you all the sacrifices, like my mom would tell me, boy, I weed the yard, I sold in the market, I sold rice at the market, I plant garden, I did all these things to grow you guys up. But you see her today, she don't look like that. She looked prim and proper and cute and nice. But the process you don't know. I said the process you don't know. Where the Bible says, how shall we escape if we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? The salvation you and I have did not come easy, but to get into it, it's all by faith. So we take it for granted. We take it for granted. Because somebody say, come to church, accept Jesus with all your heart, and then you will be saved. And you're like, oh yeah, that's cool, that's easy, I can do that, I believe in my heart, but I don't have to do anything else. The Bible said, be rooted, grounded, built up, settled in the faith. Find your footing in God, immovable, nothing can move you. What shall separate us from the love of God? Famine cannot separate us. Demons cannot separate us. Nakedness cannot separate us. Imprisonment cannot separate us. Beatings cannot imprison. Oh God, hunger cannot separate us. Because it took a price. And the price was the precious blood of Christ. The most precious thing on earth. He was the spotless, priceless Lamb of God. But yet he was crucified. For me. He was crucified for me and every person that will come in my generation. He was crucified for even Adam, the first man. He was crucified for Moses. He was crucified for Noah. He was retroactive, all the way back there. Because what? When he arose, what happened? The moment he was slain on the cross, what? Tombs broke wide open. And those that were held captive by death became free. Now to the aftermath. Mary sees Jesus. Mary is excited. Mary goes to touch the Lord. And the Lord goes, don't touch me. Do not cling to me, because I have not yet ascended. Now, how could it say that Jesus has not yet ascended, but yet we knew that he stayed with them for how many days? 40 days. 40 days he stayed with his disciples. Acts chapter 1. verse 3 says that he stayed with them for 40 years and 40 days, and he told them all about the kingdom of God, and he gave them authority, all authority to them. But what I want to show you is what happened between the ascension, the resurrection, and Jesus showing himself to his disciples and to everyone else that would see him. Let's go to the book of Romans. Let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 9. Somebody say unfinished business. The reason she could not cling to Jesus yet is because there was unfinished business. You know, when you go to buy a house, you see the house, you like the house, you go home, you secure the money for the house, you secure the down payment, you tell the realtor, I want that one. But do you know you cannot inhabit that house right away? There's some other business that has to be taken care of. And what is that called? It's called the closing. First, before you even get to the closing, you go into a contract, right? You sign a contract for the house. You put a down payment with what? Intention to buy, or rather to own. Your contract is saying you are going to own this home if everything goes right. Then eventually what happens? All inspections are done. Everything happens. But then there is a closing day where the legal part takes place. The legal transaction happens so that the house and the keys is now released into your hand. And if you have the keys now, you have legal ownership. You walk in, you turn the key, and you have that fresh new smell. Boom, you're in your house. So what Jesus had to do was to take care of the legal part. He died as the payment for our sins. But there was something that had to happen. Let's go over. This is why Jesus said, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended. 22. We're going to read from 22 and then we'll go down. 9:22 says, and according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. With what? With what? And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. There is no payment of sin without the blood. Therefore, it was necessary that the copies, watch these words, the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these. But the heavenly things themselves were better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands. Now, let me tell you what the holy place made with hands were. Remember in the book of Exodus, God called Moses up to the mountain, and he showed Moses what the altar looks like in heaven. And he says, go back down and build a tabernacle for me. He showed him all the dimensions. He told him exactly how to build it, what to use, what type of wood, what type of drapes, what type of rings, the candlestick, everything. He showed him what was in heaven. He showed him the altar. Are you following me, guys? Track with me. He showed him the altar that was in heaven. Where? Where? So there is a holy of holies in heaven. It is right around the throne of God. That is the inner court. You know the word of God said, come boldly to the throne of grace that you may receive mercy, right? Now we have access into that, but something had to have happened before we could have had access. Jesus himself had to ascend or enter into the holy places, not the ones made with hands, but he needed to go to the one that was built by the great I am that I am. So now Jesus says to Mary, do not touch me because I have not what? Ascended. And look at these words. Jesus never told them, my father, my God, your God. It's because he died on the cross and he opened up heaven to us. When he died and his blood was shed on the Calvary's cross, the price for our sins was made. immediately what took place was restoration happened when he hung on the cross and he died for our sins. Now, he could have said, my God, your God. My Father, your Father. So now he goes up, he ascends into heaven. Christ has not. So this is basically saying, Christ has entered into the holy places that were not made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself. Jesus ascended into heaven directly, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer often. Good. When Jesus ascended, he went up into the presence of God, into the altar or the tabernacle of heaven. Do you know there's a tabernacle of heaven? Yes. Not the one on the earth, the one that is in heaven. There is a holy of holies in heaven. Jesus walks in after he paid the price, and he then sprinkles as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of another. He then would have had to sacrifice often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to what? Put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So what that is saying? We know there was a high priest. And every year, the high priest would go into the holy of holies. There was the outer courts. There was a holy place. And then there was the most holy place. That's known as the holy of holies. So the high priest would go in there. And once per year, he would do a sacrifice for the people. That would blot out, which we know as the Day of Atonement. You ever heard of that? The Day of Atonement. I know many of us are new to the faith. But in Jewish tradition, there is a day that is called the Day of Atonement. He would go in and he would, every year after year after year, he would make one general sacrifice that would be that peace offering between God and man. When he sprinkles that blood on the altar, what happened? The sin for the whole year was covered for Israel. Now, he could not himself enter in with sin. He had to have washed himself, gone through all the rituals, being purified. A sacrifice would have had to be made for him that he can go in with the blood. Now, if he went in with sin, he would die in the presence of God. Do we understand that? He would die right in there. So, on his clothes, there were bells. So once he moved in there, just picture, you know, you put some sleigh bells on my pants, right? So everywhere I walk, what you will hear? Cling, cling, shingling, whatever, ling, ling, you know? Once you heard the clinging, the priest was alive. That means things was going good. But just in case he went in there with sin, there was a rope tied to his foot. So in case he died before the presence of God in the Holy of Holies, no one could have entered into that place. Or else they themselves would have gotten killed. You know how serious this thing is? When the ark came up from the Philistines, some guys decided to be curious. And they went and they looked into the ark. The Bible says God slay them right there. Right there, they all died because what? He is a holy God. So what we are enjoying, it is so easy to take it for granted. It is so easy to be cold as a Christian. It is so easy to be nonchalant and passive. But I want to speak to the church this morning and stir your hearts to be on fire for God and live out your faith with fervent faith and with diligence because of what God has done for us. So we're still dealing with this. Jesus said to Mary, do not cling to me. Why? Because I'm not yet ascended. Still happening here. So what did Jesus do? He ascended into the Holy of Holies now to fulfill what the high priest was doing year after year after year. What did he do? When he walked into heaven as the lamb who was already slain on that altar, but was not our God, was not sacrificed in the realm of man, because he was sacrificed from the foundation of the earth, from the world. How can that be when he only died 2,000 years ago? When he was not sacrificed on earth yet, but he was already sacrificed in the heavenly realms. But now it was fulfilled on the earth. Because where did he have to come? He had to come to our domain. And he had to defeat it where? The devil where? In our domain. You see, I want to tell you something. The devil is no match for God. Sometimes we feel the devil is equal to God. But you know that the devil is God's puppet? Do you know the devil is God's puppet? Yes, he is. How do we know this? He went to God, and what did God say to him? Have you considered my servant Job? So then he began to consider Job. He could not consider Job before. So then God said, go ahead, touch him. But you can't touch his eye. So who's the puppet? He then goes and mess with Job. So I just said that so you'll understand that the devil is no match for God. God is omnipotent. God is omnipresent. He is a God that has all powers. The earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, the worlds, and they the world and they that dwell in it. Everything belongs to him. So back to this. Jesus then, we saw that the high priest would go in year after year. But Jesus was about to finish the work that was done at Calvary. He then walks into heaven. He walks into heaven as the lamb that was slain now at Calvary's cross. Could you imagine? As I was preparing my message, I was thinking about this, how excited heaven was when God saw his son coming in with the nail scars in his hand and the spear piercing in his side and the stripes on his back, that he went down and he was obedient and he was humble and he went on that cross and he paid the price for you and for me. God must have been in such excitement because he was saying, now my son and my daughters which were lost are about to get found. They that were held captive by sin has been released from its grip. Those who were broken can receive healing. Mighty God! So I picture the greatest, most beautiful celebration you can picture. The greatest, most beautiful colors. The best music playing. The highest note being sung. Because what? The price was paid. But it was still unfinished business that needed to take place. You see the house, you like the house, you're excited. You get in the house, but you know, you got to go to the closing before you get the house. So Jesus walks into heaven. And it says here, not that he should offer himself often. It was once and for all. So the high priest had to go every year. Jesus went in once and for all. As the high priest. So who is your high priest? Who's your high priest? Come on, who's your high priest? We have a high priest. Enter the holy place. He then would have to offer often since the foundations rather, but now, once at the end of the age, he has appeared to what? Put away. To do what? To put away. To cancel sin. Jesus then walks into the altar. Into the presence of God, the most holy place, and what he does? He sprinkles the altar with whose blood? His blood. He sprinkles the altar with whose blood? His blood. Not the blood of bulls. He didn't carry a bowl of blood of bulls and of sheep and of doves. No, he took his precious blood and he sprinkled it on the altar. Can you imagine the shock wave that went through the heavens? The moment that Christ's blood hit the altar, it was a reset of all times. And it not only did a reset, but it opened up a new covenant to you and I. It closed one covenant and it opened the new covenant of God's grace to us. So we're no longer striving to please God, but we're walking by faith, depending on him, led by his spirit, so that the Holy Ghost can fill our hearts. So now we're no longer living by might nor power. We're living what? But by my spirit. Joel could have been fulfilled now the prophecy that says, in the last day, I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. And my son, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. So he did away with sin. How? Once and for all. Once and for all. He went in, he put his blood on that altar, and he made the difference. He made the difference because he touched the altar in the presence of God. So now you and I can come every morning to what? His Father, who is our Father. His God, who is our God. We can come boldly before him. The business was finished. The business was finished. Ephesians 4, 8 to 10 says he led captives out of the grave. 1 Corinthians 15, 20 says he is the first fruit. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that slept. For generations, men stayed in Hades. You know, we read of Hades and Sheol all the time. You know, you read of that in the Psalms. You see Sheol. Nobody wants to go to Sheol. But what Sheol was the place. Sheol had two sides. They remember with Abraham, with Lazarus and the rich man? He looked across the gulf and he saw the place where Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom. But on the other side, the rich man was what? Tormented. And he looked over and he said, Father Abraham, would you send Lazarus over here to put a little tip of water to cool my tongue? Because what? I am tormented. He was what? Tormented. So he was in hell. He was in that part where he was tormented. But on the other side was Lazarus, where? In Abraham's bosom. He was in a, meaning it was in a place of comfort. He was in a place of comfort. But yet Lazarus himself was not in heaven. He was there waiting for the sacrifice of Christ. So in 1 Corinthians 15, 20 says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and becomes the first fruit of them that slept. So he was the first one to come out of death, the first one to defeat death. Now when he became the first fruit, that means there's second fruit, third fruit, and thousands and millions of fruit. Everyone then followed him to glory. Now, what happened there, he got rid of Hades. You and I will not go to Hades. The Bible said to be absent from this body is to be what? Present with the Lord. No longer are we held captive in a place waiting to enter glory. But Jesus, when he paid the price, he defeated death. Death has no hold on you. I said, death has no hold on me and you. because of what Jesus did on the cross. And he went up, he ascended into heaven, and he sprinkled that blood on the altar. He finished what needed to happen in heaven. And then what happened next? He returned. He what? Returned. And what he did? When he returned, he stayed how many days? 40 days. Now, it says in Colossians chapter 2, when Jesus ascended, he took captivity captive, we know, and also he put the enemy to shame. He defeated everything that blocked heaven from man. Every powers of the air that blocked my access, I'm going to go personal now, and your access to heaven was destroyed. The prince of Persia, let's put it that way. Remember the prince of Persia that blocked the prayers of Daniel? Was crushed. Was crushed. Because what? Jesus went through the heavens. And everything, the things of God, can happen so fast, so quick, because he is our powerful God. So now, Christ has the ability to be wherever he wants to be. He can reveal himself to somebody here in America, somebody in Africa, somebody in Asia, wherever. Because what? The yoke of sin has been broken, or the stronghold of sin and death and the devil has been destroyed. And he put principalities to a what? Open shame. So, there was unfinished business. Jesus went and he took care of the business. He became the first to raise from the dead. So I want us to just digest this, think upon it, say, Holy Spirit, reveal this truth to me. Help me to understand it. For some of us, it may be the first time we're hearing this. For those mature, you've heard this before. But I want all of us to come to the knowledge of Christ. I want all of us to grow in our faith. I want all of us to digest the truths of what took place. You know, it is so easy to come into relationship with God, but it took work. Jesus said, I must be busy about my Father's business. This was God redeeming the world from sin when he sent Jesus into the world. Next we saw, let's go over to same John 20, and let's go to verse 19. It says, then the same day, rather, let's read 18. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. So what she did next? She went, she told the disciples, she informed them, what have happened? I saw Jesus, but he told me he has to what? Ascend before you get the opportunity to see him. So now let's go. Verse 19. Then the same day, so you understand what happened there? The same day, all of this happened on the first day of the week, the day Christ resurrected. On the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were what? The doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be on to you. They were in a room, they were hiding. They were afraid that the Jews were going to come next and crucify every one of them, or imprison them and embarrass them. But just when you feel like you're at the end of the road, I want to tell you, Jesus will show up. Just when you feel you're at the brink of giving up and life is about to be over, God will show up on your behalf. He didn't leave them there in fear. He went and he took care of the heavenly things. But the reason he took care of the heavenly things was for the disciples, was for you and I. So he didn't just abandon them. What did he do? He came right back. Didn't he promise them, I will never leave you, never forsake you, but I will be with you to the end? So he was fulfilling his promise unto them here. He then returned back to earth. The doors were shut. That's what I was saying. Jesus can be wherever he wants to be now. He is not limited by the natural body anymore. The door can be shut and Jesus will slip right through. So many of us, we think we're shutting our hearts to God and God can't see. You close the door and you sin. Oh, God's not going to see in here. Intentional pause. Everything is open to God. Everything is open to God. The Bible says his eyes go to and fro looking at the sons of men. To and fro. You are never out of the view of God. The Bible says he does not sleep. He does not slumber. He does not need a day off. He is God. Imagine God needed a day off. Who will take care of us? But he walks into them and he says, peace be unto you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands, his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Imagine being in fear and feeling heartbroken and fearful. But then the Lord shows up and he offers them hope. He said, do not worry. I am here with you. I am alive. And I'm alive and I shall never die no more. I am Alpha and I am Omega. I am the beginning and I am and I am the end. I want to tell somebody today, God will never leave you nor forsake you. But he will be with you even through the end. Amen. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they'll be forgiven. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained. So he did not just only appear to them, but he fulfilled his promise to them. Remember when Jesus was being baptized? John says, I baptize you with water, but there is one that comes after me who will baptize you, what? With the Holy Ghost and with fire. So then Jesus walks into the room where they were all shaking at the knee, wondering if they were next in line. And he not only shows up and shows them the scars, but he gives them the gift of the Father. He gives them the gift of the Father. And what is the gift of the Father? It is the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm going, but I will pray the Father that he will send you the Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit. He walks in the room and he breathes on them and he says, take. What he did, he transferred what was in him. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, now what? Will quicken us. He then gave them the Holy Spirit. And I want to tell you, every one of us have the Holy Spirit. The moment you get saved, he gives you the power to become the Son of God. That is, his spirit comes within you and his spirit cries, Abba. You don't cry daddy by yourself. You want me to tell you something, how you know somebody is saved? If they could say, God is my Father. Because the spirit within you cries, Abba. Only when you are spirit. Hello? Only when the Holy Spirit is at work in you, you are able to say, God is my Father. It is not just words. The Holy Ghost confirms it. It doesn't matter if someone ties you on a stake and put lashes on you and plucks out your beard and struck you in the eye. You can still say, God is my Father. Who confirms it to you? The Holy Spirit. So he breathes on them and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. Let me see who has the Holy Spirit in them today. Thank you, Lord. Let us all stand right where we are. And I love the fact that this scripture shows us that they were afraid. and they felt hopeless. But in the moment of hopelessness was when Jesus walked into the room. You might be in church this morning, in-house or online, and you might be feeling a little hopeless. You might be feeling a little worried. You might be feeling a little troubled. You might be feeling a little forsaken. Maybe these were the emotions that the disciples were having. They were probably saying, Lord, we followed you for 3.5 years. Every head bowed, every eyes closed. And they followed him and they walked with him, they ate with him, they struggled with him. They seen the miracles and everything. But now they felt forsaken. I want to tell you, God is true to his word. Just like Jesus showed up in that moment after he went and he ratified a new covenant in heaven and he came back down, I want to let you know the same Jesus will show up for you today. His promises are sure, they're yea and amen. His word is forever settled in heaven. It will never change. His promise to you will never change. He's that man that he should lie. I want to tell you today, trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Holy Spirit, I ask you to move to this room. Those that may feel forsaken, those that may feel broken, those that may are feeling all alone, I pray, God, that right now you'll comfort them. Just like you walked into the room and you said to the disciple, peace be with you. I pray right now the peace of God will flow through your heart. This peace that Jesus died for, he made a way that you can come into the peace of God. Because he went and he finished business in heaven. He sprinkled his blood on the altar. And he opened up all of the promises of God to us. That's why we can now walk boldly. We can go before our Father in heaven and obtain grace for every situation. If you're here this morning, you do not know Jesus, I want to tell you, it is time for you to surrender to him. Turn your eyes upon Jesus this morning. Turn your attention to Jesus. You cannot live life without him. You cannot live life without Jesus. He said, I'm come that you may have life and life more abundantly. You will just exist. You will just go back and forth. You will tug and pull and push with life. But if you receive Jesus, you will begin living your fullest life